All right, welcome everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. We are in a series, The Benefits of Salvation. Today's message is Effectual Calling, The Divine Act of God, Part 2. It is February 13, 2022. I am Dr. Mary Craig. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. And we thank you, Lord, for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ in our behalf. We thank you for his life of radical obedience, perfect personal perpetual obedience, even to death on the cross, that he paid the penalty for our sin, removing all guilt and liability. We thank you, Lord, for that, and that Jesus propitiated your wrath, Lord, your holy recoil of all that is offensive to you against your person and your ways. And, Lord, we thank you for reconciliation, that you took the initiative to reconcile us, that we can have a relationship with you, the living God, as a father adopted into the family of God. And Lord, we thank you for redemption, that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We thank you for the destructive work of Jesus Christ as well, because Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And Lord, we pray now that your Holy Spirit would come, and as the Spirit of truth, to guide us into the truth of your word, and as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, reveal Jesus Christ to us and grant us wisdom, that we might walk in wisdom and walk in Christ worthy, that we might walk worthy of our calling. We give you the praise and the glory today. We ask your blessing upon this message. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, effectual calling is the initial act in our order of salvation. Under normal circumstances, it occurs in conjunction with the external or outward proclamation or presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. From 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14. There are persons such as elect infants dying in infancy or by abortion, and those mentally unable or incapable of being called by outward preaching of the word. It is election, the electing love of the true God, that gives more hope of salvation to more people, since those who cannot reason, and those who don't live long enough, etc., are not excluded by virtue of age, mental condition, some lack, etc. And I want you to know that this is so important. There is hope. There is hope here. If we have to have merely a reasonable faith, and you have to have the mental capacity to look at the evidence for Christ and accept that evidence and choose Christ using your own reason, a reasonable faith, as opposed to a revealed truth that we receive by the grace of God, you can see that that excludes a lot of people, and there's a lot of hope, and that's not the way it is. All elect persons are saved. They are in Christ before the foundation of the world, before anything was created. Matthew 22:14 uses the word call to describe the general invitation to sinners to enter the kingdom of heaven. Many are called, few are chosen. Thus, it is appropriate to speak of a general, universal, and outward call. By it, both the Holy Spirit and the Church, the Spirit and the Bride, say to sinners everywhere, come. Let's listen to Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22, verse 17. The church alone is not the only source or the source of the external or outward invitation to salvation. It is God's word which the church and individual Christians proclaim. It is God himself in the proclamation of God's word who outwardly summons all kinds of people to repentance, unto life, and to faith in Christ, to living waters that satisfy the thirsty. And there'll be a bunch of references in the written version of this. Effectual calling is not the summons of the church alone. It is the summons of God. In other words, we are proclaiming to any who will hear the summons of God. We are heralds. We are just the messengers. Just the messenger. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. We need to make it clear to our hearers that it is the summons of God that we are proclaiming. We insist not only that the church or called out ones summon people, but also that God himself summons people in the proclamation of the gospel for three reasons. Number one, the Bible ascribes to God the summons to repentance and faith. Number two, God's claim upon the sinner as the sinner's sovereign Lord is thereby maintained and asserted. And number three, God's holiness and righteousness and his goodness and compassion towards sinners are revealed. God hates their sin and self-destructive manner of life and will judge them if they persist in them. And yet, he calls sinful men or sinful people to turn from their love of sinning and to seek his forgiveness in Christ. Now, the people to whom God issues his general summons by and through the church are spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. Ephesians 2, verse 1. We had a time, you know, as some of you know, we've rescued cats, not as a business, but we've rescued cats over the years. And there was a period of time that God had us as a family, really, to really look, when a cat died, to really look, this is death. This is death. When something or someone is dead, they don't move. They don't, there's nothing there. They're not there anymore. They're not able to do. Their brains aren't functioning, whatever. And so a person is spiritually dead. All of them are corrupt. None of them is good. Psalm 14, verses 1 to 3, and Romans chapter 3. Their hearts are deceitful above all else and beyond cure. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, whose, quote, righteous deeds are like a filthy garment, unquote, Isaiah 64, whose collective mind, quote, does not submit to God's law. That's depravity. Nor can it do so. That's inability. So there's a depravity, cannot submit to God's law, or does not, they don't even want to, nor can they. Inability, depravity and inability, Romans 8. And for whom spiritual things are foolishness. Spiritually dead ones most often conclude that they are listening only to the voices of foolish people. Sometimes, though, the person hears the voice of God summoning him into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. And he responds to Christ in faith and repentance, having been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. When that happens, God has effectually called an elect sinner to himself. All those whom God calls, he also justifies. This is not the general call given by people which someone might resist and reject. This summons is God's call. The grace here is irresistible, and the person responds to the call in repentance and faith. In conjunction with his external call to all kinds of people everywhere, God's irrevocable, effectual call also goes forth in his appointed and accepted time to those whom he had foreknown and predestinated unto life. And foreknown there has to do with the loving of God. His love. It's called electing love. He loved them. They were in his, all elect persons have been in God's mind before anything was created. Before we were born and did anything right or wrong. Now, I hope people can catch this. Before you've done anything right or wrong. Before you were even created, from all eternity, God loved. God loved you. If you are an elect person, God loved you. And this is foreknowing. He knew you, and he even back. And then came a time. A certain time, an appointed time, when the Holy Spirit regenerated your heart, and you heard the call of God. For it's so particular to different people, but it's usually a scripture or something. For me, it was when I heard, I and the Father are one. Because I grew up in the church, but it was never told me flat out that Jesus Christ is God. He was only ever referred to as the Son of God. And all of a sudden, I saw the person that was speaking to me and to my husband, Jim, at the time, showed me in the Word of God, I and the Father are one. And it clicked. It did something. It moved in me. It was alive. It was a living Word. And then other things. And the Holy Spirit moved. And later on, God showed me when I was regenerated, when I had been regenerated. And so the Holy Spirit regenerates, and then we respond to the call of God. And then it's an effectual call because of irresistible grace, the grace of God. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Romans 8:29-30. Who in the Godhead does this effectual summoning to faith? Mostly, it is God the Father. Big string of scripture there. In two instances, Christ is said to issue the call. And then the Holy Spirit applies the will of God. Again, in light of a person's spiritual deadness, a person is completely passive with respect to God's effectual call. And while I'm talking about this, I hope everyone will think about the power of God. The power of God. Because God initiates this, and the power of God moves. The power of the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't define effectual calling in terms of the responses which the called give to this act of God's grace. It is an activity in which the pure sovereignty of God's grace is at work at the inception of the salvation process. And it is His sovereignty which is alone operative in the accomplishment of the atonement. This is the sovereign grace of God. God is sovereign. Two things we really need to understand as Christians: the sovereignty of God and the holiness of God. God is holy. God is sovereign. Calling is an act of God and of God alone. We need to be awestruck at the divine energy active in this initiation of salvation. We become partakers of redemption by an act of God that brings out of the place and state of darkness, it's called, into the place and state of light. We are called out ones. The ekklesia in Greek means called out ones. Called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. We are called out. We are born out of God ones. We are called out ones. We are called out from among the dead. We are called into God's marvelous light. And we need to think about that. What kind of God loves like that? No one would come up with a God of the Bible, like the fellow that I heard, and I'd never heard it. I thought, oh my goodness, he was going to AA meetings and had to choose a higher power, and he chose a tree. And I thought he was joking, and he wasn't. And I couldn't help myself. I said, why on earth would you choose a tree, something lower on, way lower on the order of creation, a tree? You know? Oh, goodness. And I don't know, and then he kind of thought about it. I prayed for him because, oh my goodness, he was going to give his life to a tree, bow down to the tree. But wooden images and carved images are not much different. And a lot of idols perhaps are made out of wood. You know, who knows? When God calls and gives the command, repent and believe, to an elect sinner, that person is mysteriously and powerfully enabled to do what he could not and was not able to do before. 1 Peter 1:23 and James 1:18. The Holy Spirit works immediately by and with the proclaimed word in the heart of the elect sinner. There is no other mediator. It is because the elect sinner was, quote, chosen in Christ before the creation of the world, unquote, and because he was in Christ when Christ died for him, that God effectually calls him. Where were you when Jesus died on the cross? If you are God's and you are a called out one, a born out of God one, you were in Christ when Christ died on the cross. You are in him. That's the answer. There's a song, a hymn that says, were you there when they crucified our Lord or my Lord or whatever it says? And the answer is yes. Yes. For example, I was in Christ when Christ died for me. Romans 6, verses 2 through 11. Ephesians 1, verse 7. It is not that the elect sinner is for the first time by God's effectual summons brought into the in Christ relationship. It is because the people of God were in Christ when Christ gave his life a ransom and redeemed by his blood that salvation has been secured for them. Jesus Christ is surety of the covenant. Listen to Ephesians 1, 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 7. And look in there. We have been blessed with all or every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We were chosen before the foundation of the world for the reason to be, we're going to be set apart, sanctified, holy, without blame, in love. And we'll be, we are adopted into the family of God. God is our Father and not just our judge. He is our Father and we are adopted. According to the good pleasure of his will, it's not, oh, I choose Jesus, oh, I declare myself adopted into the family of God. This is by the will of God. God taking the initiative. He's the one that says, I chose you. I choose you. I chose you before you were even born, before I had even created anything. It was all set forth. And it's all to the praise of the glory of God's grace. And he has made us accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in Christ. Now, a lot of people, including myself along the way, feel like, oh, you know, that's a little kid singing, Everybody, everybody hates me and nobody loves me and I want to run away and die. Right? But that's not true. That's not true. If we are the called out ones, if we are the born out of God ones, God has made. Now notice the tense there, has made. It's past perfect. He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Who is the Beloved? Jesus is. Jesus is the Beloved. I am acceptable in Christ, in Jesus. God accepts me because I am in Christ. And nobody can take that away. That is a great, these are great benefits of salvation. And it is in Christ that we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, all because of the riches of God's grace. We do not become actual partakers of Christ until redemption is effectually applied. And we do not become actual partakers of Christ until we have repented of our sins and have placed our trust in Christ. But these are effects of regeneration, being in the, quote, in Christ, unquote, relationship, and becoming an actual partaker of Christ are two different things. The elect sinner has always been in Christ, but he does not actually become a partaker of Christ until he trusts Christ with a hearty reliance. That's what it's called, a hearty reliance. It's a wholehearted reliance. You're relying on Jesus Christ alone. It is because the elect sinner is in Christ that God summons him to faith in Christ and to repentance. Becoming a partaker of Christ is the effect of the in Christ relationship and regeneration. The Father's effectual summons, which we call the call, does not usher the sinner into actual union with Christ apart from the Holy Spirit's regenerating activity. This effectual calling is only the first of a number of applied redemptive benefits purchased by Christ's cross work for those who are already in him, already in Christ. Effectual calling is made effectual through the powerful, creative, regenerating work of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, which he executes by and with God's summons in the hearts of the elect. So we see then that the Father is pleased effectually to call by his word and by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, by the word and by the Holy Spirit. In fact, the effectual call of the elect is an activity in which all three persons of the Godhead are engaged. They're all in agreement, and they're all active here. And that the Spirit who regenerates is not only the Father's Spirit, the Spirit of the Father, he is Christ's Spirit, the Spirit of Christ as well. Romans 8, verses 9 and 10. It is from Christ that the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit descends upon the elect. As in Matthew 3, verse 11, Mark 1, verse 8, Luke 3, verse 16, John 1, verse 33. It is this that we call the baptismal work of the Holy Spirit. It was Christ who poured out his Spirit on the day of Pentecost. John 15, verse 26. Acts 2, verse 33. Christ effectually persuades all those for whom he has purchased redemption by his Spirit to believe and obey. He governs their hearts by his word and by his spirit, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. He overcomes all their enemies by his almighty power and wisdom. Okay. So, summarizing. Hang on. I'm going to summarize this here. Oh, this is from the Shorter Catechism, the Westminster Confession of Faith, question 31. So, young people, maybe you know this. Maybe you have this memorized. All right. Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, he doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. And that is the Shorter Catechism of the Westminster Confession of Faith, question 31. Okay. So to paraphrase, Dr. Raymond in the Systematic Theology, on page 718, through the regenerating work of his Spirit, God the Father irresistibly summons the elect sinner into fellowship with and into the kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ, normally in conjunction with the church's proclamation of the gospel. Now, and I want to say here, a lot of times, you know, God is, the Word of God is not chained, and God is the great communicator. Some people are saved, and no one is around. No one is giving them the gospel. There's been testimonies. You hear people's testimonies, and depending on where they live, where they are, their secular background, their religious background, whatever it is, that won't stop the living God in action. Some people say that they had an angel of God, a holy elect angel, give them the gospel. Some people say Jesus showed up. Some people have an experience where someone did present them, an individual presented them, presented to them the gospel. And one testimony I heard, this person who later went into the ministry, it was a Baptist missionary, and presented the gospel to this man, and he went, no, he rejected it. He had a Hindu background, and he rejected it. And all of a sudden, you know, when God shows up, the atmosphere changes, something is different. There's sometimes the atmosphere gets electric. I don't know how to describe it exactly, but you can sense the energy. And all of a sudden, his head plunks down on this table, and he hears, wrong, wrong, wrong. And he didn't choose Christ. He had been chosen. He had been chosen. Okay. So, God's call is rendered effectual by the quickening work of the Spirit of God and of Christ in the hearts of the elect. By the Spirit's working, the spiritually dead by the Spirit's working, the spiritually dead elect sinner, number one, is made spiritually alive, opening and favorably disposing him thereby to the things of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That's why there's a verse in Ephesians, and it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, that Jesus Christ may shine on you. Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, that Jesus Christ may shine on you." And so, people talk about an awakening, an awakening. So, it is by the Holy Spirit working, the spiritually dead elect sinner, number one, is made spiritually alive, opening and favorably disposing him thereby to the things of the Spirit. Number two, is convinced of his sin. Now, before being convinced, there's a convicting work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin and convinces of sin. And then there's, you know, a repentance or whatever, and there's a conversion, a turnaround. It's a change. And then that, with that, it's going to continue. So there's going to be almost like a continual correction. God makes crooked places straight. God makes crooked places straight. And there's that change. And then eventually there's what we call the consummation of the covenant of grace. Okay, but it is by the Holy Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Number three, the elect sinner is enlightened to the all-sufficiency of the Savior Jesus Christ as he is offered in the gospel. All-sufficiency. Now, this has to do with necessary and sufficient conditions. Jesus did everything necessary. He said on the road to Emmaus after he had risen from the dead, "Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things?" It was. And then we can ask, and was it sufficient? Yes. Jesus died even for the sin of unbelief. Jesus Christ is not lacking in anything, in power. All of salvation is by grace. It is by Christ alone, by the Scriptures, by the Word of God. We're passive. God makes us alive. Very important, because when people think that they just, they were so smart, and they're so this, and they're so that, and then it goes on, you know, well, I just tell God what to do in my prayers. I can, you know, I can command, blah, blah, blah. Now, that's not obedience to Jesus Christ. I don't know what that is. I can, you know, I can command whatever. Only if the Lord is telling you to do that and has given you that authority or whatever. Okay. And then it is the elect sinner is renewed, number four, in his will, rendering him thereby willing. No sinner is brought against his will. So it is God who renders someone willing and able to embrace Jesus Christ as his sovereign and Lord. When someone or something is your Lord, it means that that person, or maybe ism or whatever, is in control of your destiny. And that's so popular in recent decades. You are in control of your destiny. Not really. You're not. We're not. If Jesus is your Lord, he's in control of your destiny. And Jesus is Lord whether you know it or not, because he is sovereign. In other words, the Holy Spirit's work makes the sinner willing and able to repent and to believe. But his repenting and believing per se are not aspects of the effectual call itself. They are a person's divine effect responses to God's effectual call, which taken together are indicative of his conversion. And that is, I'm taking that from Dr. Robert L. Raymond's book, A New Systematic Theology of the Christian Faith. And that was from his book, page 718, Dr. Robert L. Raymond. Okay, God changes the heart and renews the will so that the elect one is delighted in coming to Christ. We are not, however, to confuse the believer's response in repentance and faith with the summons or the call of God itself. And we'll be talking a lot more about this. We'll get into that response in later messages. And so we will stop there. All right. So let's pray. Holy Father, we come before you today thanking you for saving us. We were in the dark, but by your act alone, because of your amazing love and irresistible grace, you turned our hearts, opened our blind eyes, and opened our hearts to desire and to receive Jesus Christ. What kind of love is this that forgives sin when we were yet enemies, when we justly deserve your wrath, the agony of rejected love? Yes, we rejected your love, and yet Christ died for us. Jesus, the just one, died for us, the unjust one. Forgive us. Reveal the glory of the gospel to us. May we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and this great love. May we walk worthy of our calling. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24 says, "Faithful is the one who calls you, who also will do it." May the Holy Spirit preserve us, that we might persevere and be faithful until that day. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And now, if you would please stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.